That out. Welcome to Fun with Scotch, episode 31. Tonight, we're going to be talking about three different Speysides. And my name is John Pitchford.
I'm Marla Sredin.
And our special guest,
Mary Reister.
And I'm Judy Pitchford.
And we're going to be talking about three different, Speysides. There's the Glenlivet 12-year, Glenmore 12-year, and the Glenfiddich 12-year. And we'll just go ahead and get started.
So the first one is Glenlivet. Did you mm-hmm. want to talk about that one?
Sure. And this is taken from their website or...
Yeah, the information from their website and other places,
but okay.
I wrote a nice little thing.
Yeah, it looks wonderful. Glenlivet had its start in the Livet Valley in 1822, where founder George Smith honed his craft as basically a bootlegger. King George IV asked for a drop of the infamous yet illegal Glenlivet while making a state visit in Scotland. A change in the law in 1824 gave Smith the opportunity to become the first legal distiller in the parish of Glenlivet. To read the full story of Glenlivet, visit theglenlivet.com.
Yes, that's right. It's the Glenlivet. It's that's not right. just Glenlivet.
That's right. Today, the distillery is owned by the French Alcoholic Beverages Company, Pernod Ricard.
Oh, I'm glad I gave you that one.
Yeah.
Because I would have had to pronounce that.
First matured in traditional oak before spending time in American oak casks, which impart notes of vanilla and give the whiskey its distinctive smoothness. The mineral-rich water that comes from Josie's Well...
Oh, darn, I forgot to look that up.
...helps form the flavors during mashing and fermentation, whilst the specific height and weight of the copper stills adds a delicate yet complex character.
All right. Okay.
Well, it's a lovely color, a light, nice golden amber. Mm-hmm. Actually, all of them today are about the same color, they're all lovely.
They really are, yeah.
So, I haven't had much experience with Glenlivet.
If I remember correctly, when I was growing up, it was my my brother-in-law's favorite scotch.
Oh.
He would, have a little glass now and then. But that's all I knew about it at the time, and I wasn't old enough to drink it myself, so I didn't know anything.
Doesn't seem to have a very strong aroma. I don't know. A little alcohol, but...
A little vanilla.
Yeah, I smell mostly alcohol, but with some vanilla. The nose, according to the notes, say that it should be fruity and summery.
Well, it's cloudy and gray out, so I don't know if this is the proper...
This might not be the right... Mm-hmm.
It's really mild, though.
It's got a sweetness to it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the other thing we should have mentioned is that the reason we're doing this is because one of our listeners suggested that we do a podcast comparing Glenlivet and Glenfiddich.
That's right.
So I believe his name was Travis. Mm-hmm. Travis from Kentucky.
Yay.
So thank you, Travis from Kentucky. But we've had a third Glen that we can have a battle of the Glens.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the nose, we're not getting the fruity and summery, but it's hard to get summery when you're looking outside right now.
It's tasty. It's got some heat.
Marlis, do you taste pineapple?
No.
Because it says, thought I'd ask, Marlis doesn't like pineapple, no. Mary, just so you know.
Yeah.
Delicately balanced with strong, strong pineapple notes.
I don't taste that. I taste it again.
When you say it, then I'm thinking, I can imagine some pineapple.
And we also, we're doing good tonight. We also forgot to mention that this is the double oak Glenlivet. This is not just the
Glenlivet double oak.
Yeah. The Glenlivet 12 double oak. Okay. Apparently the regular Glenlivet 12 was discontinued in 2015.
Oh.
Don't know why.
Everyone's got to be special these days.
They do have to.
They don't make whiskey anymore. They've got to do things to it. Well, it's odd because always on the lookout for, various bandit pineapple kinds of things. I don't really taste that. I get fruit, but more of a citrus or something else acidic. Maybe that's what they mean by pineapple, but I don't. Yeah. It's not enough to make me go, ooh, ick, pineapple.
Yeah, I get maybe just regular apple. A little bit.
apple.
It's got a little, you know, a little heat to it, which maybe kind of makes me think of citrus too. The heat does, but yeah, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perfectly pleasant. Not as sweet as some.
Yeah.
Well, I can't find a whole lot about Josie's Well right now, but there's actually a video online about it, the Glenlivet Spirit of Discovery, Josie's Well. But I can't, there's nothing, oh, wait. But then it starts talking about the Josie's Well bringing clean water to Ghana. So I'll have to research that more later. But
that's quite a ways to haul that water.
Kind of a long that is a long way to haul water. So
that's good.
Where are you going, Marlis?
The pot is bubbling, and I'm afraid it might be making noises, too many noises.
Marlis is a witch, and she's got her cauldron bubbling over there.
Boiling away.
But for dinner, we're having Eye of Newt.
Yeah.
I'm not.
You're not?
Hey. Thanks anyway.
Oh. Yeah.
It wasn't easy catching those newts.
That's true. They are pretty fast.
I thought maybe Per Olaf helped you.
It's newt season, though.
It's always newt season in the Pacific Northwest.
All right.
So we should move on to the
Glenmorey. Okay. Glenmorey is from the town of Elgin in Speyside, which has the reputation, at least, of being one of the sunniest places in Scotland. Now, that in some ways is like saying the sunniest place in the Pacific Northwest. With a grain of salt.
Dubious honor, yeah. I'm not sure.
I bet you they have, what is it? What do we call it around here? Sunbursts or?
Sunbreaks.
Sunbreaks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because the sun does not burst.
No.
That would be bad.
Probably. So, for tasting notes, this is supposed to be one of the sweeter of the Speysides, big on vanilla, honey, cereal, grains. And the scent of fresh cut grass.
Oh, I hope not.
It doesn't have a very strong scent.
I get a little more aroma from this than I did. But that
well, that's, be oh, that's funny. I got a heavier aroma from the Glenlivet.
Yeah. I got more from the Glenlivet. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's like your nose. I know, we all have our noses way in there. Mm-hmm. But I don't smell cut grass, I'm pretty sure.
No. It should be lighter than the aroma, and, excuse me, crisp and fruity, with white chocolate, toffee, some floral characters. I had a cheese and a cracker, and then now I'm scuffy.
Terrible things have now happened.
As C.S. Lewis said, the sweet humiliations of organic life. That's tasty.
I had to take another sip of the Glenlivet it's smoother, I think, than the Glenlivet.
Yeah, this has more alcohol.
Yeah, it's got less of a bite. It's sweeter. It's got some, I guess, the honey and that sort of thing is what we're looking for. I was looking for the alcohol by volume, which is 40. So it's not terribly high in alcohol. The Glenlivet is in tiny, tiny handwriting.
You read that okay?
Oh, it's also 40%.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
maybe it's the double oak that gives it more of a
bite.
A drier kick. Character.
Yeah, that could be.
I like it, though.
It's tasty.
Yeah, I like the Glenmorey. Glenfiddich was perfectly nice, too, but
it almost has a licorice note to it to me. But that's, I don't know. A little bit of something anise.
And again, some fruit.
Yeah, I can see that.
A little bit of caramel. Not like a bourbon, but more like a bourbon.
It's not as sweet as a bourbon.
Right. And of course, it's all barley and not corn, but it's got more of that profile to me. I like it.
Nice. My lips are tingling.
Would drink again.
What's that?
Would drink again.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Are you have anything else to say about Glenmorey?
I don't think so at the moment.
Okay. Well, let us know if you think of it.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Well, let us move along to Glenfiddich.
Okay.
Glenfiddich 12. The Glenfiddich Distillery was started in the summer of 1886 by William Grant. He and his sons and seven sons and two daughters. He was prolific. Okay. Built it as by hand. Mrs. Grant, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm sure she had a hand in it.
More than that.
Or something. And after about a year, their distillery was ready, and they named it Glenfiddich, which is Gaelic for Valley of the Deer, which is why there is a stag on the bottom.
Well, that makes sense.
Very cool. That is their logo. Of course, let's see. Blah, blah, blah. they don't really address what they did during Prohibition, like they did on the Glenlivet site with the king coming and taking a tibble. But I think they were still in operation during Prohibition, just like Glenlivet. But they were one of the only of six of the legal distillers once Prohibition ended. So, but Glenlivet has the distinction of being the first legal. They are currently managed by the fifth generation of William Grant's descendants.
Nice.
And of course, again, for more of their story, you can go to glenfiddich.com, and they have a nice little page that gives their whole history. Their whiskey is matured for 12 years in Oloroso, European oak sherry, and American oak casks before being married by their master distiller in specially designed, uniquely sized oak marrying tuns. Mm-hmm. Called tons for 9 months. It's like being pregnant.
It's birth and a scotch. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So and then the paragraph I put up at the top where I shouldn't have, it says it's water, air, and malted barley, a trinity expertly crafted to make a Glenfiddich whiskey. It inspires influential 20th century designer Hans Slager to create a radical design of the time, the triangular bottle in 1963.
It is a very nice looking bottle. Yes.
Very attractive. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's their little trinity. So the color again is golden. I think this one might be a little
slightly darker.
Slightly darker.
Yeah.
The nose, fresh, fruity with a hint of pear.
I get more alcohol with this, kind of like the Glenlivet.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it hard to distinguish some of the other.
I think there is more of a fruit.
Yeah, I can get the pear.
Scent with this one, yeah.
Hmm. I find it to be a little smoother than the Glenlivet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's a little bit of heat right at the kind of end of the, but it's very tasty.
Yeah, the taste is sweet, fruity notes. Develops into butterscotch, cream, malt, and subtle oak flavors.
Hmm. Butterscotch. Let me try that again.
Yeah, I could see the butterscotch. I believe that. It's got some kind of sweetness to it.
Yeah, they're very tasty. Yeah,
this would be really good, actually, with a very buttery cookie. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Be famous. Shortbread.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anybody got Girl Scout cookies laying around?
No.
It is Girl Scout cookie season.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have some at home.
That's right.
Thank you for getting.
We'll let you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really smooth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay, so my question is always, where would you see drinking these? Going just by taste.
Mm. I don't know, Marlos, where would you
drinking these? Well, the Glenmorangie. For me, is kind of like an autumn drink because it's a little sweeter, a little, I don't know, cozier, a little kind of when the weather is starting to get chilly and you're sitting by the fire at night in your house, this would be a lovely thing to have. The other two are really kind of general. You could drink them just about any time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One thing that occurred to me is that since they are two of the most popular scotches ever, wherever you are, you should be able to get one or the other of them, which is, you know, nice.
Oh, yeah, sure. Definitely.
They're dependable. They're a good scotch. They're widely available. Even if you're in a tiny bar in a small hotel or something, they've got to have one of those two.
Yeah, the Glenlivet or the Fiddich. Yeah, Glenfiddich. Mm-hmm. The Glenmorangie, I don't know.
They might not have that.
Available.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe at Stack 571.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Although their whiskey list is better for a lot of the local or small distillery, mm-hmm. micro distillery places. That I mean, they have a good Scotch list.
It's a really long list, yeah. So they have but they do have a lot more of the local than most places.
We were there on Sunday, yeah, mm-hmm. Monday. Monday.
It was a holiday. That's right.
Had lunch and various whiskeys, mm-hmm. and they were very tasty.
Yum.
You can get a flight there, you know, like a flight of bourbon or a flight of...
Yeah.
And it's very...
Yeah. And they had Blanton's, which is hard to find. And so I had some of that. Mm-hmm. Because you can't find that very well. I haven't seen it in a long time, so I'm not sure where they got theirs, unless it's just been sitting there on the shelf for the last year. But,
well, I'll have to go there and
Tamara and Evelyn used to buy it all the time.
But you can't find it. No.
Oh, my goodness.
It's hard to find now.
Because it's gotten really popular.
Yeah.
Like Happy Ben Weasel.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, that every time I tell Evelyn I'm going to the, you know, Total Wine or something, mm-hmm. she asks me to look and see if they have any, but mm-hmm. they do not.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. So now we are to the water segment. Mm-hmm. Okay. You want to start my list?
Yeah, I'm going to have to add a little more. I was a little...
If you're too enthusiastic in your drinking, well, then I'll just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, you go ahead.
It's very scientific, Mary. Watch. Boop. Boop.
That was a large boop.
Well, they're all large boops. Okay. See how scientific that is?
I think I can manage that.
What we do is we try to add a limited amount of water.
Yes.
Because we're dealing with fairly small amounts of whiskey.
We should
we don't want to overwhelm it.
We should probably actually measure, but you know. What fun would that be? And we will see.
It's a challenge.
It's a challenge. Mm-hmm. Yes, another one of our listeners suggested we use a teaspoon.
Or a quarter teaspoon, or a half a teaspoon.
Or a half a teaspoon, depending on how much we have left in our glass. A
quarter teaspoon might be good.
Mm-hmm. We could.
I am not as practiced at this. I got too much water in this one.
Okay.
I can tell you right now.
All right. Or we could even do something really wild and measure how much scotch we put in our glass.
That's true. Well, which, you know, we don't.
There are tools, you know.
That's true.
Yes, I've heard that.
I'm going to bet one of your friends bought you a measuring device for this kitchen when she lived here.
But that's no fun. This way, if you get it wrong, you can do it again.
Actually, she probably did.
I'm sure she did.
Diane, we need you.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I'm pretty sure Diane knew who we meant.
I'll have to tell her that we mentioned her in this
podcast. Oh, so she'll listen.
So she'll listen.
Sure, right? Yeah. You're going to make her sit through this whole podcast just so she can hear her name?
Yes.
There you go.
Sorry, Diane.
That's it.
Well, I think it calmed the aroma.
Yeah. Excuse me. There's a lot. There is less heat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's much smoother with an itty bit of water. But.
Oh, yeah.
It is, for me, it is just not the most distinctive. And I don't know if it's because I started out with the peaty ones and then tend to gravitate toward the really distinctive, well, not distinctive, but I like strong flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really smooth and just very, I don't know.
You like to be spanked by your booze.
I do. There has to be a little something. Oh.
She likes her scotch like she likes her men.
Uh-huh. Indeed.
There we go.
Well,
I was just throwing it out there.
I know, you have to say something, but I can't think of anything.
No, you don't have to say anything.
We'll just leave that.
We're
there.
We'll just leave it there.
It's just gonna lay there.
which is not how I like my.
No.
All
right. No, what I said is just gonna lay there. Mm-hmm. Not. Mm-hmm. Never mind. We'll stop now. Okay. Now
it is tasty, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, for any of you who are devoted to Glenlivet, we don't want to insult you or say, oh, it's just not the most distinctive scotch I've had, and I tend to like
it. No, I don't think it's distinctive. I just think it's just a nice, steady,
dependable
scotch.
You can get it anywhere.
It's been around since 1822.
Yeah, no.
Well, this particular kind hasn't, but Glenlivet itself has been around since 1822.
And that's the one that they mentioned, the pineapple, isn't it? In the description.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I still don't get a strong pineapple.
Well, you know, I was just imagining eating pizza with pineapple on it, and I was like, yeah, okay, I'm kind of it could go with that.
Okay.
All right. Now we know what to drink when John
I could see this
pizza.
Nice summer's evening sitting in the backyard.
Well, that's true.
You know.
A little prosciutto, a little pineapple.
Yeah. Some things like that. Yeah. Good stuff.
Mm. All right.
All right. Glenmore with water. Is that named after the moray eel or?
I don't believe so.
The Valley of the Morays.
The Valley of the Morays.
That would be scary. So. Yeah. I was watching a nature show once where they had, it was a place where they had dug like irrigation canals and had, you know, water gates and things like that. And there was one place where there was just this huge amount of eels that had settled. And it was like, you know, nature is good. I'm a firm believer in all animals have a right to be there.
And eels are delicious.
I've never bitten one. I hope they return the favor.
I have never scooped one up live from a river and bit off his head or anything, but I have had eel. It's not bad.
But now,
well, I guess I may.
You can accept the challenge.
And yeah.
That could happen.
We just have to find the right irrigation ditch and you'll be
okay.
In search of.
Noted.
So anyway, I like the Glenmore with the water. I don't think it hurt it at all. I don't know that it really made a whole lot of difference.
No. I think I like it better, a little better straight. But again, it's perfectly fine.
I want to say that the Glenmore would be a good scotch for beginners because it is, you know, kind of just, I almost said flat, but that sounds bad. No. It's just not... you know, it's not strong tasting.
It's not as nuanced.
And it doesn't have that strong alcohol flavor. It doesn't beat you up. It's easy on the palate.
There's some sweetness and fruit and interesting flavors in it.
So if you are an introductory Scotch drinker, I would suggest a Glenmore. Or, you know, a lot of the Speysides are that way, though. They're not real beat up kind of Scotches. But this one in particular, I think, is smooth enough.
They can be plenty complex without... You know, without being overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some kinds are.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now Glenfiddich. I think it brings out more of the different aromas.
Yeah, the aroma's stronger. Yeah.
I get caramel and vanilla. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
Mm. Where without the water, I didn't get it so much.
No, I got mostly alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, and that tends to burn out your little nasal passages, so.
Or clear them out. You know, depending on the season.
If you have sinus problems, this could be a good thing. Well, that's tasty.
That's lovely.
Yeah, so I think water really changed it for the better, even though it was already good. But I really like it with the little bit of water.
I mean, it was smooth before. It's even smoother now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the flavors didn't.
Yeah, but the flavors are a little more... I think they were kind of soft, and the alcohol sort of overwhelmed them. So now that they're dissipated a little bit, they're it's tastier.
They're waving their hands a little bit more. Hello,
yes,
hello, you are. Yeah. So this is interesting though, because often you know we don't like the addition. Well, we not that we don't like. We feel that the addition of water doesn't really do anything amazing, or it's kind of neutral. But this is one where it's like, yeah, this is pretty tasty.
Yeah, I think it. I like it better with the water.
So I can feel free to go into a bar and order...
Glenfiddich on the rocks.
Right? Or a rock.
A rock.
Anyway, yeah.
Well, a good bar will just give you a rock.
Yeah.
A big one.
Yeah, but even if they just have normal rocks, you know, it's just one. And it's very tasty. This might be even like a late summer night sitting out watching the fireflies if you are... lucky enough to live in a place that has fireflies.
We are not.
That's true.
We might get bats.
You could be sitting by a fire pit.
Yeah, there you go.
That's true.
They could be by a fire pit watching the bats.
Yeah.
I had a bat that lived in my sun umbrella one summer.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
He was so cute.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The cutest little tiny, tiny small brown bat.
Yes.
Which actually is his official name, small brown bat.
Yes. And I'm guessing you didn't invite our former colleague over to have dinner with you that day because she does not like bats.
No, but when I was putting the sun umbrella away, I thought, I should check for the bat.
Yes, you should.
And I was ruffling through all the folds because it was, you know, I had it down ready to carry it in, and oh no, he's gone. And I looked down, and the little bat was sitting right on the ground by my feet.
So he had been
in there. He had been in there, and he just fell out. And then he's like, what?
You what? Know? Why are you taking my house?
It probably woke him up.
This I is know. My house.
Rude awakening. So I was going to pick him up and move him into someplace shady. I know, and not a good idea. And he said that, you know, he showed me his teeth. Yeah. He's like an inch and a half long, and he's showing you his teeth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that is just the cutest thing I've ever seen. So, but I left him alone, and he flew off on
his own. And she does not have rabies.
No, so good.
Not that I know of.
Win-win.
She hasn't started foaming at the mouth or anything, so I guess we're all right. Yes.
I just saw an episode of, what's with the serial killers and the behavioral unit? Criminal Minds.
Criminal Minds, yes.
Yeah, where a guy was transmitting rabies as a means of killing people. And so this lady was phoning.
That series just ended.
I know. I haven't watched the end yet.
Yes, I saw it yesterday.
Is there anything sad in it?
I haven't seen that in years.
Well, it's heartwarming at the end.
Well, that's nice.
I will just say that none of the major characters die.
Okay,
that's good.
That's all I need.
Okay. Yeah.
Is the young skinny one that's autistic still there?
Yes.
What's his name? What's his name? Spencer.
Spencer.
Yeah. Spencer. That was my favorite.
Yeah. He's had a lot of trauma over the last few years.
Before he started acting in this, he was a model.
Yeah.
And I thought he was so geeky looking that I couldn't.
But
imagine.
Then did you see the model pictures?
Yeah. There? You know, and he's just slouching
quite lovely.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, okay, I have no idea. Yeah.
Well, you know, they kind of make them look like their character.
Yeah, because it's called acting.
It's acting, Marlis.
I heard that.
All right. Well, I think, I don't know that I have, I guess my favorite is probably the Glenfiddich, but I like them all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Mary?
I would say Glenfiddich would be my number one, but the Glenmore is my number two. Mm. Sorry, Glenlivet. You were lovely.
Yeah, you were lovely.
You come in three.
Yeah. John?
That's pretty much the same order I put them in, too. I liked the Glenfiddich the most. Glenmore was a pretty close second, and Glenlivet is third. It's good, but it just doesn't have some of the complexity and the other characteristics that I really like about the Glenfiddich.
Okay. The Glenfiddich man. It's like I'm actually thinking this tomorrow. I'm going to. It's like I'm going to have to get me a bottle of that because I don't have a bottle of that.
And it's reasonably priced too.
Yeah, I don't even remember what we paid for
the Glenlivet and the Glenfiddich. Both were around $32.
Oh, that's it's fine.
It wasn't too bad.
Do you remember what you paid for the Glenmore?
About 45, maybe.
So that still, that's not too bad.
It's not unreasonable.
Yeah. And so your favorites?
I don't know. I kind of like the Glenmore, but the Glenfiddich has come up strong with a little bit of the water in it. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of, they're a tie.
That's the one I keep going back to. Mm-hmm. To me, I keep sipping on is the Glenfiddich.
Well, good thing you're keeping the Glenmore.
I know. Mm-hmm. For once, I actually get to keep the one I like.
Yes.
I know. We tend to all bring something, and then we keep the one that we brought, of course. So sometimes I'm not always happy with the one that I brought.
Sometimes it's one of our favorite that we keep.
I bought the
Anok. I know. The scotch for Klingons,
We're like pineapple.
We're like pineapple.
Oh, it had a pineapple-y thing? It
did to me. I'm like, and again, you know, everyone's taste buds are completely different. Well, not completely different, but
it
different
is.
Enough.
Right. It's just like how you visually see things is different, too. The whole color thing. Yeah. Is it pink or is it blue? It's like, I don't know. Taste buds
Judy
are different,
Judy and I see
too.
Different colors. She'll see green and I see blue. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's anywhere in the middle, it's like she'll see green and I'll see blue.
Or the other way.
Yeah.
Because you think my old Saturn was green.
Oh, was that?
And I said it was blue.
You said it was blue. I was wrong backwards.
I wonder what the manufacturer says.
I think it has some silly name like.
Yeah.
Ocean something, which could be either green or blue.
Yeah. Something non-descriptive.
It's just. Yeah, they're pretty. Creative in their naming. Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the fun things I think about tasting various whiskeys and things is that different people will have different perceptions of it, because, you know, that they actually literally taste it differently. Mm-hmm. So there's something out there for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, and that's why we very rarely say I don't like something, because mm-hmm. again, it's an extremely individual thing, and the best whiskey is the one you like that you can afford.
Except Scoresby.
And the best way to drink it is the way you like it. That's right. I don't think Scoresby's that bad.
Yes, she does. She took it back. See, now you're going back the other way again.
Well, you know, she's finally
admitted.
She's finally admitted that she didn't like it and that it was bad, and now she's going back
but
the other way.
But now she feels bad about her feeling bad about that.
I know. Yeah. Well, and it is extremely inexpensive, so, you know, that... It's so an important thing.
Other rot gut, but that doesn't mean you should drink it.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Anyway, if we ever get famous,
I'm sure somebody likes Mad Dog.
I know.
Somebody really likes what?
Mad Dog.
I've never actually had it.
But I'm sure people like it. It sounds horrible.
Yeah.
That's what I sure.
I know. All right.
Maybe we should do that on one of our.
Oh, no. I don't think so. You like yourselves, right? No.
And our listeners, yes.
Okay, well, I don't know that we know what we're doing next time, but we'll come up with something.
I don't know. Maybe we should do Battle of the $10 Scotch. if we can find three of them.
Find three of them that we haven't already tried.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do something local, like Oregon whiskeys or something.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to Oregon next weekend.
Oh, well, that's true, yeah. Well, hey,
there you go. There's an opportunity.
We'll go to the liquor store and we'll call you.
Okay.
And see what you want to get.
All right, that'd be good.
Okay. We've done that before. Mm. Marlis, we're at the liquor store. Do you want some Doors? You want that big one? It's only $50.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Oregon prices.
All right.
Well, thanks, and I hope you have a good evening, and hope you enjoyed the show.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. Mm.